day with a hop, a skip, and a hooray. Cause new comics have hit the shelf with so many titles that you can't sell what's good or bad or just okay. Should you buy it now or wait for the trader? The indies you should know about, and where can you find all this out? Well, luckily this podcast has the answers to all that. They call it God Hates Comics, but does it really? Who knows? And if we're being honest, he's outnumbered by the heroes, so I'm pretty sure we got this. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to what is now episode 31.
Technically, this isn't welcome back. This is just welcome to episode 31.
Welcome to episode 31. I suppose you are right.
Welcome
about
back to the podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast, because we did take last week off.
Okay.
Well, which is also, technically, it's episode 31.
So, yeah, that. it was funny, because we didn't do last week, because Vince had family in town, and I was going to go to a concert with Mark.
Uh-huh.
Mark canceled on me, so I ended up going to that concert. And so, I was a little annoyed about that. But then I got super fucking sick and wouldn't have been able to record anyway. So, karma had... Not even karma. I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah,
it's just irony.
The universe being
irony.
Shitty is what that is.
It's, I believe the term is
shit
irony.
The ironing is delicious.
Yeah. So what have I been up to in the last 2 weeks? Getting ready to move. All my comics are now out of my apartment outside the three short boxes on my trades. It looks strange.
It's literally amazing. I mean, there's an echo in this room and everything because there are so much fucking books in here.
Yeah.
it really, like, after we cleared everything out and, like, I stood in this room afterwards, I was just like, holy shit, these things take up so much space. Like... I was just like, God damn. Like, it was ridiculous. And they're in a storage unit now in an undisclosed location. And
I know where this location is.
But you don't have the key.
I don't.
Not yet.
He has access to bulk cutters. You look like you have access to bulk cutters.
Yeah.
Either way, but you got to remember my code to get into the building. that 97-digit code. <they gave me. laughs> But no, so did a bunch of that, but I did find time to read some comics. We read Convergence 1 and 2. We're going to talk about those next week.
0 and 1,
rather, yes. We're going to talk about those a little bit later on in the show. Kind of our topic of the week is going to be Convergence and our weekly showing of The Flash.
Viewing of The Flash.
Weekly viewing, whatever. What else did I read? I made sure I got caught up on Southern Bastards. The last issue, 8, came out.
Yeah.
Was it last week or the week before?
Week before.
Yeah, finally got caught up. We got read the last issue of Southern Bastards, where you kind of see how Boss became Boss.
Yeah.
And it kind of flashes back to the present, and we kind of see where this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And shit's going to get crazy.
It is.
It's going to be awesome. Really crazy. I did, but one of the things I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this actually every week leading up to the release of Age of Ultron, is... I'm going back and I'm reading what people deem kind of classic Ultron stories.
Cool.
Kind of seeing what... And this was kind of spurned on by... I read Rage of Ultron.
Yeah.
The new graphic novel by...
Remender
and Opeña and Moraz. It was pretty good. A strange ending. For a book that kind of is supposed to stand on its own and not be canon, that's an ending that, like, screams sequel. Like, it's like... It was very strange. I don't know if you've read it. Have you heard about what happens?
No.
I won't tell you.
I've heard, and it's
very
it
strange.
Seems
it's
odd, yeah.
It seems odd. But it's really well done. I mean, I like it, and it's just kind of the latest in and I mean, it's no surprise that Marvel put out Rage of Ultron right as Age of Ultron's
about
to come. When Vanessa and I actually went to the movie after a movie on Saturday after we moved everything, and she saw the big thing for Age of Ultron, and she went, so they got rid of the R? And I was like, what? She's like, I saw the book, Rage of Ultron, at your place, and they're not... I was like, oh, no, it's supposed to be that way. They did it on purpose. There is a book called Age of Ultron, which I...
It's not
as the forefront, as the cliff note of my Ultron series, we'll call it, do not read Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Actually, read, like, the first two issues and then throw the book away.
Yeah. Like, I think Marvel has a sale on it on Comixology right now, and it's like, I think it's $10 for the whole thing. That's too much. Don't pay that. If it's 5, maybe, but no. But what I read, so I read Rage of Ultron, which I thought was really good. Kind of features a classic and modern team kind of concurrently. Kind of shows an old kind of Ultron story from the past with kind of the classic Avengers, and then flashes forward to what looks kind of... It's got, you know, Sam Wilson, Captain America. It's got the female Thor. It's got Iron Man. It's got Vision. Vision's actually really important to the story. Okay. It's got a good mix of characters in the present, so it's a little trying to figure out where it fits. I don't even want to try to begin. And like I said, it really feels like this is meant to be picked up on somewhere, maybe even in All New, All Different Avengers, or even in Remender's New Uncanny Avengers. There's no telling, but it was really good. So, spurned on by this, I sought out, thanks to Marvel Unlimited, the what is seen by many, this was kind of my mistake apparently, I read the quintessential Ultron story apparently, like every Ultron story I read, every Ultron list that had the best Ultron stories, this is number one on all of them. Like, I literally, everybody seems to be completely agreed that Ultron Unlimited by Kurt Busiek, George Perez, and Al Vey from Avengers 19 to 22 is the quintessential Ultron story.
19, so like it's like 3 issues long?
It's four issues. Like I said, and they're also dense. Like every time I read one, it took like 10 or 15 minutes to get through each issue. There's just so much in there. I was just like, man, go fuck deconstruction of storytelling. Holy shit. It's like there's no padding here. Like if this had been written today, it probably would have been like 9. It probably would have been 10 issues of bullshit. And so, and then probably the second half probably would have had nothing to do with Ultron anyway. But, so, this is seen by many, like I said, as kind of the quintessential Ultron story. And I can definitely see why. Like, every issue is a very distinct kind of phase. In issue one, the threat kind of presents itself. And they think it's Ultron originally, but it turns out it's one of Ultron's wives. Not Jocasta, the other one. Alchemy, or whoever that is. Okay. Yeah. And so she shows up, and you think it's a distraction, but she naturally says, she's like, of course it's fucking Ultron. Like, why wouldn't it be Ultron? And so they're like, oh shit, we have to go deal with Ultron. And they pull a Watchman. Like, they're like, oh shit, Ultron. But then they get news reports that Ultron has already wiped out the entire European nation of Slovenia.
Shit.
He literally wiped out the whole place. There is not a living person left alive at the end of issue one. And that's the end of issue one. The Avengers, it's Ultron being like, just whooped your asses and you weren't even here. And so then issue two is
Hold up. Just tell us if it's good, because now it actually seems like I want to read it.
Okay. Yeah. So that's your hook, is that in the first issue, Ultron wipes out an entire country.
Right.
So yes, absolutely check this out. It is got some great dynamics with Pym. Basically, Ultron at one point in the story kind of captures what he considers to be his family, which is like Pym,
Wasp,
Vision, Wonder Man, Scarlet Witch, and Grim Reaper, who's Wonder Man's brother.
Yeah.
So he kidnaps all them, and they pretty much play a big factor, so you get a lot of history of Ultron, and in the meanwhile, you've got this really twisted plan. Basically, Ultron kind of cracked. Ultron always wanted to eliminate all the life on Earth. That's kind of his thing. But they put a kind of a new twist on this, where it's not so much he wants to eliminate, but he wants to replace.
Yeah.
And so they kind of get into that whole, what is he going to replace it with? What is he going to do? And it's really, really amazing, big, classic Bulls superhero action, which is pretty much like, if you want big Avengers stories, you read Kurt Busiek's run on Avengers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretty much like the, for me, it's like the bar of Avengers stuff. Because you've got pretty much, like I said, the greatest Ultron story of all time, apparently, sandwiched in the middle. But, like, he finishes it with this, like, 14-part epic Kang the Conqueror story. And he starts it off with stuff with Kang the Conqueror, and it's this really just... And it's George Perez drawing a good chunk of it, and then even Rick Remender doing some inking before.
Yeah.
Rick Remender was even anybody. He used to be an inker, yeah.
Yeah.
He
inked for some of Jeff Johns's...
Yeah, and a couple of issues of, I think, Kieran Dwyer used to.
Yeah, yeah, it's because they were...
So where does this Busiek run? It's like...
It's the relaunch of Avengers After Heroes Reborn. All
right.
So basically, the 1998 volume of Avengers, issue one, is where it starts, and I think he goes to 44. I can't swear to that. I mean, you can see, but he writes it for like 4 years. And so it's really just the Perez artwork is definitely a little you can tell that he's just doing layouts for some of it because it's got that Perez kind of style, but the finishing looks a little more hatchy than he's known for.
Yeah.
So they're kind of, and a couple of the issues are like that. It's like George Perez's like pencils, and then it's not inking, it's finishing. So like that's kind of when they're given the layouts and they're kind of finishing the art for the artist. So The art does get a little sketchy on some of it. Not bad, but like you can tell that it's not. If you're looking for that crisp, bold Perez on every single issue, it won't be there. Sorry. And so yeah, Ultron Unlimited definitely worth checking out. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll check that out. Like honestly, more and more, I've been thinking about signing up for Marvel Unlimited.
I mean, if you're a digital reader, for me, yeah, there's no reason not to do it because it basically eliminates the need to ever buy any old Marvel books. And if you are not an impatient person, you almost don't need to buy any current Marvel books because they all get there eventually.
Yeah.
The only current Marvel book I buy is Hawkeye because it's Jeff Lemire. And I'll come at you guys next week with another Ultron story that I'll recommend. The goal is to find good ones, but if I do come across a bad one, I won't fear from talking about it.
Like
Age of Ultron.
Unrecommend.
What?
Unrecommend?
Yes, I unrecommend Age of Ultron. The problem with unrecommend is that it means I had to recommend it in the first place, and I didn't.
Okay.
So I am.
We'll
I don't know.
That. We'll
warning.
That. Yeah.
We are warning you.
Do not read Age of Ultron. All
right. So you mentioned Ultron kidnaps his family, right?
Yes.
Or what he thinks is his family. So Hank Pym's his dad.
Yes.
So Wasp is his mom.
In a way, yes.
Okay. All right.
And Vision
so
is his son.
His Ultron's son?
Yes.
Vision's all okay.
Yeah, because Ultron creates Vision.
All right. So what's Wonder Man?
Wonder Man's brain patterns were used for the original Ultron.
Him. It feels like it's,
so
it's like his brother, basically.
Okay.
So yeah, basically, Ultron.
Because I was thinking, so Vision marries Scarlet Witch.
Yes.
But then didn't Wonder Man also marry Scarlet Witch?
That's actually a kind of a subplot of this arc, is that in this arc, Scarlet Witch and Wonder Man are dating, and Vision is
like pissed,
being a little creepy about it. because he's not quite over it yet. And then Grim Reaper actually was one of the first people to interact with Ultron. And actually, Ultron was actually the first person to equip Grim Reaper, who was Wonder Man's brother. So they all have a distinct tie to
Ultron.
Okay. Because
I was just kind of thinking it would be funny if it was like, oh, it's my brother's wife's brother's boyfriend.
No, nothing like that.
I'm like, what the fuck?
But yeah, Wonder Man was the only one that confused me because Wonder Man, but Wonder Man's was the template for the original Ultron,
yeah,
his brain
yeah.
patterns. But then there's a big reveal in the story where that might not quite be the case.
Holy shit.
You know, it's, you know, 15 fucking years later, so I mean, I'm not going to say it for the benefit of people who haven't read this
story. Well, a lot has happened in the past 15 years.
And I'm sure it's been undone, probably.
Like,
but
Age of Ultron. That was a thing.
Really? And I'm trying to think, like, the big Ultron stories, like...
We're warning people, Dustin.
Because there was Age of Ultron, that was supposed to be the next big Ultron story, and I would say failed miserably.
Barely even a fucking Ultron story.
It's like in the first 5 issues, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's gone?
Yeah.
And, like, you never find out how he takes over the world, do you?
No.
Yeah. It just kind of happens.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
I don't know. Either way, before that, it was Annihilation Conquest, I guess.
Yeah.
And then before that, I guess it was Ultron Imperative, which was the Bendis one where he turns into a woman. And,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Ultron's kind of... Yeah, but it's basically... It's tough to find, recently especially, like, big Ultron stories. Really big, like, wide ones. And, this one definitely, I think, Ultron Unlimited. If you want a primer for Age of Ultron, I think it's here. Because watching the trailers, I could see maybe Ultron, this movie taking some cues from it.
Okay.
Just seeing a couple of parallels that might
be. It's definitely going to take more cues from that than it would from actual Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah. And Whedon, whatever I say it, he's almost flat out said, he's like, this Age of Ultron has essentially nothing
to
do with.
Yeah, I think he just used the name.
They just used the name, because it admittedly is a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
Because Ultron Unlimited sounds a little 90s.
No, absolutely it does. Like, a little 90s. When you were like Ultron Unlimited, I was thinking, did I miss something that came out recently? But
no.
that book sounds so 90s. It's
like, I think it came out in 2000, so...
It's almost like having an X title called Extreme X-Men, spelled with an X.
Yeah,
but they'd never do that.
I had an issue of X-Men Unlimited that... It was like one of the... I don't know, it was one of the few X-Men comics I remember getting, because there was a point where I was kind of reading stuff regularly, and where I'd only grab whatever I could off, like, the rack at Kroger.
Sure.
I know
how that goes.
So it was, I don't even remember what number it was, but it was, like, the X-Men were in the, what you call it, place up north. Savage Land, yeah. And Sauron was there.
Yeah.
And
dude from Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. Sauron.
Sauron. It's literally spelled the exact same.
All right. Anyway, that's all I remember. But what I really remember was that the cover was like bright pink for some reason. They were in the Savage Land. It was like sexy Rogue and like sexy Cyclops fighting sexy Sauron.
Mm-hmm.
I think Khazar was there too.
Sexy Khazar,
of course. but yeah, like I said, X-Men Unlimited, fucking 90s. 90s as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, do not let the 90s-tastic title fool you. You want big, bold, classic Ultron. It's here.
Okay, so we want to what I did this week.
Yes.
I read half of the Annihilation Omnibus in one sitting.
You're welcome. I mean, I sold it to you, so...
Yeah, right. But it was kind of funny, because my dad was like, we're going to have this business meeting, if you want to just, like, step outside and read. And I was like, I have an excuse to just sit outside, smoke, and read a book? Sure.
Boom.
So, like, an hour and a half.
This is life, man.
But I read half of The Annihilation Omnibus in, like, an hour and a half. Nice. I brought inside, my dad was like, how the fuck? It's only, like...
You told me to read, so I did.
17 issues. You know?
Now, if only you told me to read when I was, like, five.
So well, he said to
so the Annihilation Omnibus is
good for you.
Shake your hands. Lots and lots of
books. It's like 30 issues in the Annihilation Omnibus, so.
Well, 15 issues. That's a good clip, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to finishing that off. We'll probably do that tomorrow or something.
Cool.
Other than that, catching up on a few new comics. Of course, read Convergence, read New Magneto, and New Southern Cross. What else?
What do you think of Southern Cross?
I like Southern Cross.
That's the Andy Bellinger
one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're fucking.
There's
awesome.
Some mixed reviews really on that
good.
One.
No, I've really enjoyed it. You know, I've also actually really been enjoying Ant-Man, Nick Spencer.
Dude, that book is solid.
That book is awesome.
Like, I bought last week's issue and I haven't read it yet, but like that fucking cover is boss.
Yeah,
it's
Mark
like
Brooks.
The Dayglow Miami Vice.
Miami Vice with Ant-Man and Grizzly.
Oh my god,
it's amazing.
And it's like. What I really love about it is because, like, part of it is, like, you think, okay, they're still wearing the costumes because they want you to know it's Ant-Man and Grizzly Bear is in it. But it's like, no. His fucking suit is his Ant-Man suit. Like, he goes to a business interview wearing his Ant-Man suit because that's the only suit he has.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
It's pretty awesome.
No, I do love it because, like, in this one, they're just... He's continuing the trend of hiring supervillains to help work in his security firm. So, what is it, Machine Smith is in this episode, in this issue, you know, and it's fucking awesome.
Like, if there's one complaint I had about Ant-Man,
mm-hmm.
it's that it kind of takes up everything that got built up with Scott Lang's character, like, during FF, and just is like, fuck that, flush this shit down the toilet, and now he's just a complete loser again, and it's like, well, that kind of sucks, but it works, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it does, because, you know, people like me didn't read FF.
Yeah.
Because I gave up after a few issues.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like...
It actually got better when Fraction left, I think. Like, Fantastic Four got really bad.
I didn't make it that long.
Like, Fantastic Four, I think, got really bad after Fraction left, but FF actually, I think, got better after Fraction left. Because
not to say that Fraction was doing a bad job. I actually think Allred was...
I actually loved that he left that book to focus on... What was it? Inhuman. And then he ended up not doing Inhuman.
Yeah.
I think he did one issue.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't even Inhuman. It was like Inhumans.
Inhumanity
or
Inhumanity number one.
Yeah, number one. And then that was it.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be Inhumanity. And then they just were like, all right, well, this isn't happening. Let's just
then they got fucking Joe Mad to do the art, and he's fucking slow as fucking the Continental Drift.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It got delayed as balls. And like that whole Inhumans push just got ruined, I'd say. Like... If they were trying to capitalize off the momentum of Infinity, it got destroyed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm still reading Inhumans, and I think it's in a good place now, especially with Uncanny Inhumans. Like, that was a number zero came out. It's like a zero issue, and it was pretty good.
It's Soul and McNiven, right?
Yeah. Well, at least zero. I'm not sure if McNiven's going to...
Oh, but yeah, I meant just that issue.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's a really solid story. It's really cool, and what it does is that it follows Black Bolt, because he's like... Since Infinity, he's been missing.
Yeah.
In Inhumans, he's reappeared. And Medusa's basically like, you've been gone all this time. All this... Basically, all this shit has happened.
Yeah.
Like, we lost Adelan. We lost. I don't know where my son is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are trying to kill us. Our people are trying to kill us, and you're expecting to just show up and take shit over? Fuck you. You, like, I'm not your wife. You're not my king.
Wow.
Damn.
And he's just like, I mean, he doesn't say anything, but he like zaps his chair with his, I don't know, brain power or whatever, and like takes off. And Uncanny Inhumans takes off after that.
Okay.
And it's kind of following him on his, what he's doing.
Cool.
So at least there's a reason as to why there's two different Inhuman books. And sorry that I just stole your thunder. But
I was just going to say there's also one more book that came out this week that we've talked about many times on the show, but now it's actually out, and you should go buy it, and that's fucking Space Riders. And
yes, yes.
Is fucking off the wall, insane, just amazing.
I've heard this book is really good.
I've got, Dusty apparently got me a copy, and I've got two copies coming.
Do you still have copies?
No, I think we sold out of Fabian. Shut up.
No. Awesome. I was getting there. I was getting there, Vince. He's saved one for me that he's going to give to me, but I have two coming in the mail, so you can have one of them.
Sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, because my comic book shop, Bedrock City, Sugarland,
They didn't get it. I asked them about it, and they didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And they were going to order 2 to 4 for me, but yeah, they did not have one.
Yeah, I mean, in their defense, they said that they ordered it and they just didn't get any. I don't know what happened there, and I don't know.
Apparently, it sold out at the distributor.
Yeah, it sold out at the distributor level. So hopefully, more people will place orders for number one, and they'll go to
second printing. That would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And but if you do need it, you can go to Black Mask's website. They have a store. King's merchandise or something, and you can buy it there.
Is it available digitally? I looked on Comixology. I didn't see it.
I don't know. It's
available digitally through them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll check that.
I think it is. I think they do have a PDF on their website.
Yeah, they have a digital store. So.
Okay. Cool.
So yeah, but Space Riders, definitely fucking bonkers.
Yeah. It's fucking awful.
Even if the artist hates everything you love.
Absolutely. Yeah. No fucking Star Wars, man.
No, they made a post today, and he was just like, things I don't care about. And it was like Daredevil, Age of Ultron, superhero shows, you know, Marvel superhero movies, Star Wars, all this shit. I was like, damn, you don't care about these things so much you had to tell us you don't care. That's a lot of...
I just think it's one of those things where it's like, I understand, like, not every person that works in comic books, like, has to like all this comic book stuff.
Sure.
But it's like, dang, you're... really in the wrong industry if these are all the things that you hate.
In all fairness, hate was not the word he used. I think he's really just... I think he genuinely is indifferent towards these things, but I love the irony of somebody going like, I don't care about this so much, I'm going to post and tell you guys how much I don't care about it.
Yeah.
And that always gets me. And I will call people out on it. And I would have called him out on it if somebody else already hadn't. Ivan Brandon, of all people, who's a comic writer, is all right. Just went, yeah, when I don't care about shit, I write a big list on Facebook telling everybody about it, too. Because I would not want people for a second to think I actually cared about something I don't care about.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, exactly. I loved it. Fabian, though. Fabian was like, you forgot to add deadlines to that list.
Nice.
So he updated it to include deadlines.
But yeah, so Space Riders for sure.
Yeah.
Blast.
It is.
And it's been getting rave fucking reviews.
Oh, yeah.
I really hope this leads to some more shit for Fabian.
Me too.
Awesome. If there's one man, like I've said in comics, that I believe deserves some more recognition, it's Fabian. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, so.
Did you read anything else, sir?
I'm sure I did, but I can't even fucking remember right now. I've been reading a lot.
So, Vince.
Yeah,
well, like you said earlier, I had family in town, so. What this means is that I had family come in from Belize, and being that Belize is like a third world country that has like 300,000 people in it, what we did was a lot of shopping and eating. Not to say that my family's fucking like backwater hicks or anything, but it's just, there's a lot of stuff you can't get in Belize that you can easily get here. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, let's, you know, we're going to malls, we're going to outlets, and we're doing all this shit, and I'm just like, god damn, how do people do it? But
it's a tough life.
It is. But my cousin came with them. He's 9. And he gave me some tips on my Lego videos.
Oh, nice.
And my blog. Because he's a 9-year-old and that's all he fucking does. Watches blog, you know, Lego shit and Minecraft stuff on YouTube.
It's amazing.
So that was kind of funny. We built a few Lego sets. I finally got the Flash Gorilla Grodd set I've been talking about. The one with the bat mech that I didn't care for, and I built it and I still don't care for it. But hey, it's got Captain Cold, it's got Gorilla Grodd, it's got Flash and Wonder Woman in it.
That almost makes me want to buy it.
It's actually a pretty cool set. With the exception of the bat mech that I don't like. So if you can get it on discount, because it's like a $50 set, I got it for $40 because I just waited. I suggest that. I also got, I did some Age of Ultron stuff. The Hulkbuster, you know, the Lego set, that's actually a really rad set. I really love that, the way they...
they revealed that clip from Age of Ultron where they fucking fight Hulkbuster Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Which I did not see, because I'm going to wait for the movie. I'll watch trailers.
I will not tell you what he says, right.
Then. I'll watch trailers, and I'll watch teasers and shit, but like, don't just show me a clip. That's not fun. Mix it up a bit. But did you guys see the Ant-Man trailer?
I did.
What'd you think?
I thought it was much better than the last one.
Yep.
Dusty. I'm still not sold.
You see the Ant-Man trailer? Yes, looks awesome.
I guess I'm still underwhelmed, but for me, like, in one ear, one side, I've got Hulk versus Hulkbuster, and then over here it was like Ant-Man making corny jokes, and I was like, I was like, Age of Ultron.
He's pointing at Age of Ultron.
It was a much better trailer than.
Honestly, I have the feeling that they're going to start ramping up.
Like Ant-Man.
And after Age of Ultron.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's almost a given.
And probably show more of the humor and more of which we're assuming is going to be a humor-filled movie, since Edgar Wright was, you know, it was his baby for the longest fucking time.
Such a damn shame.
Yep. But you know, shit happens. So should we go into some news?
Yeah, let's talk about some shit. Speaking of movies, it's almost all we got this week.
Considering we took a week off, there didn't really seem to be a lot of.
I guess with Secret Wars impending
really been announced.
Convergence starting, yeah, there's not a whole lot of other news out there.
And to be honest, this is the first week in God knows how long that we haven't had any new Marvel comics announced.
Although I will announce one thing I heard. Apparently, Jeff Lemire is exclusive with Marvel in that, because he was at their latest writer's retreat.
Yeah.
So he is exclusive with them in as much as he basically doesn't write for DC anymore. Because apparently his deal allows him to write for Valiant, it allows him to write for Image, and it allows him to write his stuff at Dark Horse. So, like, everything he does, the exclusive with Marvel is basically, you write for us and can't work for DC.
Is he doing anything with Vertigo right now?
No.
Okay, where's Divergence is...
And then he's got a superhero book coming out through Dark Horse, and then he's got plenty of Valiant stuff coming, and then he's got Hawkeye with Marvel. Okay.
Well, that's kind of interesting, because isn't Hawkeye the only book he's doing with Marvel?
Right now, yeah. Huh. But if he's at the writer's retreat, it would give you an idea that he might be doing something more. Which is probably a foregone conclusion.
Daredevil.
That would be cool if he takes over after Wade, because Wade's wrapping up, isn't he?
Yep, soon.
Keep an eye on that. Might be something there.
Hell yeah.
So anyway, let's get into some news here. And some bad news. Michelle McLaren of Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Better Call Saul. She was set to direct the Wonder Woman film. She has left, citing creative differences.
Yep.
This is unfortunate, but... not unheard of in this scope of superhero films.
Yeah.
Edgar, like we mentioned very famously, Edgar Wright left Ant-Man very, very late into production. Patty Jenkins was supposed to do Thor the Dark World. She ended up walking off of that film as well due to creative differences, and Alan Taylor was brought in instead. He's now directing that new Terminator movie. Did you guys see that new trailer for Terminator?
Yes, I did.
Holy shit, that's a big spoiler.
I have not.
I have a feeling that
but that there's more to it?
Yeah, that's what I think that they're going for, you know.
Like I said, I've actually seen some people that have actually been fairly sold on the movie. They actually said that. They said, this sold me on the movie more than anything else at this point. Simply because it takes the franchise and flips it on its head. Does something different.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You ain't sorry. Don't even apologize.
Honestly, it's a movie I was going to watch anyway, because I'm a big Terminator fan. But it's, like you said, it seems really interesting, and now I'm even more interested to watch it.
Yeah.
You know?
So anyway, getting back to Michelle McLaren. We've had a lot of high-profile departures from projects, and even
like, even Whedon seemingly is done with Marvel after Age of Ultron, and,
Not seemingly, I think he is officially done, because, in, like, the worst-kept secret in Hollywood, the Russo brothers have now officially been announced as being the directors of Avengers 3 and 4, or Infinity Wars Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So...
Which, like you said, was one of the worst-kept secrets in the world, basically.
Well, because, I mean, shit, we've been talking about it for the past
two or
so. Yeah,
pretty much. But it is a little sad to see McLaren leave Wonder Woman. She was a really solid hand. More than solid. She was great. And it's a little unfortunate that she's out, but there's still some pretty... It's become a thing where this isn't all that uncommon, as much as it sucks. So, I mean, I know a lot of people are going to see this and be like, well, the movie's fucking doomed. But... This means very.
I don't think it means that at all. I mean,
it does.
All she does is like she had a very specific style, and she just may have wanted to do something that they didn't want to do.
And that happens. Like I said, it's happened at Marvel now. Yeah. It's happened to DC. It's happened everywhere. God knows, like Zack Snyder was hardly the first choice for Superman, for better or worse. We're not going to get into that conversation again today. But they make it sound like there was like almost a dozen people that they asked ahead of Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Like, and admittedly, some of them would have been great, but it's the kind of thing where, you know, not everybody's interested in doing things like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people that are interested, it doesn't always work out. And, like I said, I'm going to reserve judgment. That movie's still over 2 years away.
Yeah,
so
it's one of those things where it's like, it's a problem insofar as they lost a director, but it's not like they lost a director halfway in the shooting.
Yeah.
They haven't started shooting.
Like, although Suicide Squad. I don't know if we... No, it wasn't our new Suicide Squad. Officially started shooting today, Tuesday, nice. April 14th. Day one, as David Ayer said. And he's been tweeting various pictures, various things, and has been teasing the ever-loving shit out of Jared Leto's Joker.
Yeah, that picture like, came out.
We saw that Killing Joke-esque picture, and he has the green hair, so you can see it.
Ooh,
so
I haven't seen that.
It's literally Jared Leto with the green hair, and he's got a camera kind of Killing Joke-esque. We'll look it up in a bit, but
that's funny because I thought he was just taking a fucking selfie, and you're like, oh, it's the Killing Joke.
It's the same kind of camera and everything. Like, I can't believe that's not on purpose.
It probably is. I'm just saying I missed it.
Yeah, well, a lot of sites were pointing it out too.
Okay,
you know, some were even making the bad puns, like David Ayer's latest tweet is a real Killing Joke, shit like that. And I'm like, whatever. But and the thing is, DC's movies for next year are Batman, Superman, and Suicide Squad, and both of those are either wrapped or now shooting. So,
yeah.
The stuff for 2017 won't really get rolling until the end of the year. So plenty of time for them to recover from this. But it does suck. I'm not going to pretend it doesn't. But still, some good stuff can happen here, hopefully it does. But in some better news, apparently, Nicole Perlman. Co-writer of Guardians of the Galaxy, she actually, I believe, wrote an earlier draft that James Gunn then came in and rewrote.
Well, I think she's still co-writer.
Yeah, she's still a credit on the story, yeah. But it's not like her and Gunn worked together or anything. And Meg, I used to think you said that, LaFave?
I'm going to go with LaFave.
LaFave, she is the co-writer of Pixar's upcoming Inside Out, are apparently being courted to write the Captain Marvel movie. Apparently, yes. Feige met them both separately, but liked both pitches, and wants to combine them for the final film.
Which is kind of funny, like you were saying, they then worked together on Guardians of the Galaxy, but they kind of, you know, still worked on the same script. So
yeah,
it kind of seems like this is the same thing.
A similar thing, although I think those two will crack their script together.
Yeah.
I know Kelly Sue DeConnick apparently pushed to write the Captain Marvel movie. I guess that didn't work out.
Which, at the very least, I need to bring her on as a consultant or something.
Oh, apparently Jim Starling's on as a consultant? I heard that, but I'm like...
Well, that might be more of a... I've heard sometimes they do that just so they kind of get paid.
Yeah.
You know, they don't actually...
Because let's be real, Marvel Cosmic exists solely due to Jim Starling.
Yeah, because it's like on the Battlestar Galactica series, I think Gary... Was it Gary? Not Gary Larson... Anyway, the guy that created the original series,
yeah.
He was credited...
Isn't Gary Larson the Far Side guy?
Yeah, he's the Far Side guy. But he was credited as a executive producer, even though he didn't have anything to do with the show.
Simply,
basically
yeah.
As a way...
Well, it's kind of like Gene Roddenberry was always credited on Star Trek shows, even though he had nothing to do with them. So, it could be... So Captain Marvel getting moving. A lot of people are still thinking we might see a hint of Captain Marvel in Age of Ultron.
But Whedon has come out to say that's not going to happen.
Whedon says there's a mid-credits sting, but there's not an end-of-the-credits thing.
Yeah, so there's no
So we'll see what... I'm still staying. I've been fooled before.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like he came out and he said it's not going to happen, don't expect to see her, but that could just be one of those like, oh, we're completely trying
to
throw you off.
Could be an absolute, yeah, exactly.
So,
But in some other DC news, and then I'll let you take over, Dusty, because this one actually could be pretty fun and actually kind of flies against some of the rumors we've heard about, seemingly heard about DC's film slate. But Phil Lord and Chris Miller of the Lego Movie and the Jump Street franchise are apparently developing the story treatment and or may write the upcoming Flash film. This is awesome, if you ask me of anything, because these guys have a great handle specifically on comedy, which seems to fly in the face of DC's no jokes policy that everybody claimed they had, which seemed to come from nowhere outside a Bleeding Cool thing. But this seems to go directly against that. Don't get me wrong, if all they're writing is a story pitch, then there's not going to be a whole lot of outright humor in that. But they know what these guys are known for. They've got to be banking on some of that humor.
Well, the thing is, it could also be...
And also that feel, that fun, lighter tone.
Well, it could just be that they're looking for those names.
Yes,
just because, I mean, it's the same thing, like, the Russo brothers were known for Community before Winter Soldier.
Soldier and all that,
You know, so, and there's comedic elements, but it's a very serious movie, so...
Well, the DC stuff has come under a lot of fire because people are basically saying, oh, well, they're clinging to that whole no-jokes thing, that kind of rumor that came about that DC's movies were all going to be super serious and all going to be very dark. They were all going to be Man of Steel, basically.
Well, I mean,
and,
let's be honest, the last four DC movies, Batman Begins...
We're all pretty joyless. There's still the one-off jokes and everything, but they all, generally speaking, are pretty dark.
It's basically Alfred and...
But you can't... And I think DC is smart enough to realize, but you can't do that. Like, you can't have all your movies be that way. So I think they realize that they got to bring some humor into some of these to make them stand out. And hopefully this is kind of a sign of that.
I kind of hope they take the Marvel approach, in that each movie is kind of its own
genre
thing,
even.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
because, like, you know, you look at the last slate, like Dark World was almost a straight up fantasy film.
Mm-hmm.
Like Iron Man was kind of a techno thriller.
I was reading an interview today with Jeff Loeb where he says he really hopes that soon they'll be able to make crime movies and supernatural movies, like dealing with mystic stuff, and then even horror movies, and then sci-fi movies. He wants every genre you can think of.
Well, in all fairness, they've got most of those already. I mean, they've got Guardians with sci-fi, and Captain America was like a Cold War espionage.
Yeah.
Kind of callback to those Cold War espionage films.
Like, what was that? There was that Brad Pitt spy game.
Spy game, a little bit. And then you've got, like I said, Iron Man, which is kind of your techno thrillers, and you've got Thor, which is delving into the fantasy, and then you've got Doctor Strange, which is going to be your mystic stuff, and then you've got a whole bunch of genres that all this stuff... That's why it bugs me when people say, like, you know, it's a comic book movie, and I'm like...
It's like, there's so many different...
There's so many different things that can mean.
Do you realize that Road to Perdition was a fucking comic book movie?
Exactly.
History of Violence was a comic book movie?
Yeah. Yeah. Same as Superman, dude. It's exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Yes. And yeah, we did, as noted, the Russo brothers are doing Infinity War 1 and 2. This apparently will require... apparently, they're pretty high demand now after Winter Soldier. But
yeah,
they're apparently sticking with Marvel for at least the next... Man, they're going to be busy.
Probably 6 years, because they're going to do...
Well, they're going to do Civil War, which I think is also already filming. So Civil War... Civil War is probably on break right now with the new Avengers stuff.
Yeah.
And but then you've got Civil War, and then they're almost going to immediately have to go into Infinity War 1 and 2, because that's 18 and 19.
Yeah.
So they're going to finish up Civil War, get Civil War out, and then almost have to immediately go to work on Infinity War. And I know Sony wanted them for one of their Ghostbuster movies, but I don't think they're going to get them.
Yeah.
They're going to get them as producers, maybe, but that's it. So a whole lot of shit coming, and it's coming fast now. The Marvel Phase 3 is starting to firm up, and looking pretty good.
Do you think we're ever going to get, like, a standalone Marvel movie? Like, a Marvel movie that doesn't fit into the Phase 3, Phase 4, whatever?
Ant-Man might be like that.
No. Ant-Man is firmly tied into the movie.
How?
They talk about what happens... Well, they say it's what happens with S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that.
By that logic, Daredevil's tied in. But Daredevil's almost completely standalone. but they mention the incident.
Well, they didn't even call it the incident. They call it the Battle of New York. It firmly takes place
but
after.
Well, the thing, too... Well, my point is that I feel like Ant-Man will tie in, but I don't think what's going to be happening in that movie is going to be setting up some big grand thing for Phase 3. And I don't think that...
No,
I don't think
about that.
I don't think a lot of the Phase 3 movies are going to be like that.
Yeah.
Because... Well, you think about it, too. Like, Thor the Dark World is almost a standalone movie until you find out that that thing's an Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
And even then, like, I would still
they're
say that movie's a
stand. Like that.
And I think that they
to
are.
Be able to stand on their own as movies, but then take place in this bigger
universe. I think Phase 1, I will agree. Phase 1 all felt like it was going somewhere.
Yes.
Phase 2 really hasn't for me. So, like, when you say, are we going to get any more standalone stuff, I think we are.
Well, actually... My bad. Actually, I mean, you're right. Guardians of the Galaxy is kind of its own thing so far.
Yeah.
But what I meant by standalone, like...
Is actual not Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, where it's... Or maybe it's a, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Why would you want something?
I'm just thinking like Man-Thing or something. Like you were saying, horror.
Totally take place.
I suppose. I'm just postulating what...
I think a lot of Phase 3 is going to be like that, too. I think the Black Panther film will be fairly standalone. I think Captain Marvel will be. I think Doctor Strange is going to be. I think a lot of those are going to be.
But that's the thing with Doctor Strange. They're going to introduce, like...
The Doctor Strange movie will be the introduction to most of that Mystic stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not... They can't really call on any previous people they got for that, except maybe Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And, so yeah, I think that as Marvel's branching out now, and we're getting a lot into more of these, dare I say, fringe properties, we're going to get more of the what you're wanting, the kind of similar stuff that we'll probably have some bigger overarching things.
There already is a Man-Thing movie.
It's terrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
A good Man-Thing movie. That
never.
Is,
they could do Man-Thing on Netflix. I'd be cool with that.
You know what? They could. And actually, so Dusty's finished Daredevil. Just finished episode 10, and Andrew, because he's moving, getting that
two episodes in.
Two episodes in.
That fight scene, though, in the hallway.
Badass.
That was actually one take.
One take, yeah.
So that's really awesome.
It's, but, yeah.
That
shit's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I've tried.
Okay.
No, like, in filmmaking, like, you, when you're making even student films, you always want to try to kind of be auspicious, ambitious, probably more like it. So you try to do things where you get a little creative and you do, you know, you try to do like the West Wing walking and talking where they're walking around corners and you're just following them all and you're walking backwards with nobody behind you, so you just hope to God that you don't run into somebody and you remember where the turns actually are. But, and you try to do like, you know, uninterrupted takes and you try to do a lot of stuff like that. And it's hard because, like, if you're moving around doing that and you just, like, trip once, it ruins the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you gotta redo it all. And it sucks. It's terrible.
Well, and, like, the cool thing was that they said, like, this is a movie.
Yeah.
They'd probably have, like, 3-4 weeks to, like, choreograph and do it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, like, for this, they had maybe, like, 3-4 days max.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
Television compared to film is, like, people will say films are, like, this guerrilla... Like, films can be kind of guerrilla productions where it's, like, you've got to shoot a 90-minute movie and they'll, like, drop you at a location and say, 2 weeks, you're done.
Yeah.
And they'll basically say you've got to... But the thing about that is, like, with television, it's not 2 weeks and then you're done and you go to post. It's like 2 weeks is an episode and then it's somewhere else for two more weeks and somewhere else for two more weeks and somewhere else for 2 more weeks. And television is infinitely, I'd say, more taxing on crew than film is.
Yeah.
Because with film, you shoot for a good amount of time, but then you're done. Or even then, your job isn't necessarily taxing because God knows if I was directing film, I'd love it. I mean, although Joss Whedon's apparently like nearly dead after Age of Ultron.
Well, someone was saying they saw him at some junket or whatever. He looked like he was just about ready to fall asleep. And he's like, fuck it, I'm done.
Like they did the big premiere of Age of Ultron the other day. So I imagine though, like when you're prepping, like arguably the most anticipated sequel of all time.
Yeah.
It's going to catch up with you. So, yeah, but Age of Ultron is still looking pretty good. And
absolutely.
But the thing I'm liking about Age of Ultron is that even Age of Ultron in itself kind of feels like a standalone movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, apparently there's some cues in Iron Man 3 for it, but I can't see anything in, like, Thor the Dark World or Winter Soldier that would be major ramifications in Age of Ultron outside the collapse of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Which I think is why Ultron's able to just stop everybody out so easily.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that it's...
Well,
I think the lead up to Infinity War though
isn't gone.
Well, yeah, I know, but
you know, it's just
well, if you're watching a TV show, there is like SHIELD is.
That's just not what it used to be.
Yeah.
You know,
like, but either way, I think we are going to see a lot more interconnectivity though as we get closer to Infinity War. I think we're going to start seeing the stuff kind of converge for that as far as the existing properties. I still think the new properties are going to kind of exist on their own though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, like I'll still say what I meant by standalone was just something that is on the big screen that doesn't necessarily tie into Iron Man, doesn't tie into Avengers. You know, because eventually Doctor Strange or Captain Marvel, eventually they're going to tie into everything else.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, so like what I'm thinking is...
I think Daredevil is a great example of that, though, because I don't think Daredevil, from the end of Daredevil, from what I see, it's not, it doesn't look like it's clearly setting it up to join Avengers or anything like
it's
that.
It's not. But I think they're going to keep the street level heroes street level.
I could see them maybe having a little bit during Infinity War, just kind of showing the Earth side of it.
Yeah.
But I think even that's a stretch.
Well, it's like Charlie Cox, someone interviewed him, they asked him...
He's like, I haven't gotten that phone call yet.
Are you going to be in Civil War? And to which he responded, I haven't gotten that phone call yet.
But I would, and the thing is, like, I would love to sit and keep watching more Daredevil, but just, like, I have no fucking time. And it bothers me, because, like, I'm blocking so many people's posts because all I'm seeing is everybody endlessly talking about it. And I'm just like, nope. All
right, the only thing I'll talk about is Knucklepuck. Like, I did not like.
Oh, you didn't realize that's not Knucklepuck, man.
It's not Knucklepuck. Right?
Knucklepuck is fucking that dude on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Kenan Thompson.
Yeah,
he's Knucklepuck, man.
Yeah, you sure?
Yes. Fulton was not Knucklepuck. Knucklepuck is D2 when they find Russ Tyler from the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, you're right.
Yeah.
Of course I'm fucking right. You don't bring that weak-ass Mighty Ducks knowledge on me. You step to me? No.
Shut the fuck up, man.
That's Fulton, not goddamn.
Fulton is one half of the Bash Brothers, man. He's their enforcer in the first movie, and then he's their co-enforcer in the second movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that hockey has a position that's literally beat people up.
Yeah. Have you watched the movie The Goon?
Yeah, that's a joke.
I love that movie.
It's like it's like I love that it's like in the second Mighty Ducks movie, what's his face? The other one, Portman. He's showing up and he's just shoving people around and everything, and he's just like, what's this guy? He's a goon, and he's like, I believe they're called enforcers, Gordon. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly what it is. But no, like I remember watching the two episodes I did, and I'm looking at Foggy and I'm just like, man, he, like, disappeared from, like, D3 to, like, this. Like, I haven't seen him in anything.
Yeah, straight up.
Like, they announced that he was cast, and I was like, who's this fucking guy? And I looked him up, and I was like, damn!
Well, and, like, I mean, I don't know. It was cool to find out who he was, because it's like, I know this guy. Just kind of pin it.
It's kind of cool to see people kind of come back and actually get, like, a big high-profile thing. Like, that's why I was so happy for Michael Keaton with Birdman. I was just like, this is a guy that deserves some more fucking success.
Well, when it comes to Daredevil, I'm a big fan of, I won't mention anything, but there's a lot of hints towards other stuff. Mainly Kunlun, you know?
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome, you know?
Iron Fist is coming last, unfortunately.
Yes.
Like episode 10 on or
no 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 or even earlier. Okay, no, this isn't a spoiler.
Okay.
But they talk about the drugs and shit that like is going on. One of the whole
right.
Yeah, they're all running drugs. The drugs symbol. The packet symbol. Is the goddamn Steel Serpent. It's fucking Iron Fist's main bad guy's emblem, like tattoo that he has on his chest is right there on the fucking drug bags.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
God damn it. You know what? So, it's like I saw that.
Uh-huh.
As soon as you said it, I was like, fuck, you're right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't clicking. Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping we hear some stuff about Iron Fist soon, because we know Jessica Jones is already filming, and Luke Cage is in
it. I think Luke Cage isn't going to have powers in the Jessica Jones show.
You think he'll get powers in his own show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's basically the point of having a Luke Cage show, is to show, like...
Because if he's in Jessica Jones, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, you know?
Like, well, it could be. I mean, because, like, Daredevil already had his powers, and they kind of interjected little flashback things. It could kind of be the same thing. Like, I don't see why
the Luke Cage show... Because, like, he could just be a bit player in Jessica Jones, and then the Luke Cage show actually
He doesn't have to show off his powers.
Well, true, but they're making it sound like he's, like, one of the main those stars.
And Jessica Jones.
And Jessica Jones.
Which also makes sense based on Alias.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly. So that's the thing, is I don't think he needs to have powers in this show.
I wonder if they'll have the butt sex.
They're probably going to have, I mean, honestly, they might not show the butt sex, but
yeah, like, honestly, with the way things are going in Daredevil, I can see it happening. So I can at least see it, like, mentioning butt sex.
Oh,
like,
God.
Daredevil's like,
I regret bringing that up. That's like, I remember reading the first issue of Alias, and I was like, is it, did that, is it, really?
Butt sex?
I was like, seriously, Bendis? Did you just go there? And the answer is yes, he did.
It was a Max title.
He very much went there.
I love that. No, I read an article about it, and it was just like the like most infamous hookups in comics, and that was like number one, and it's like, well, the comic never explicitly states it. I think it's a safe bet to say that their children weren't conceived on this night. I was like, that's a nice way of putting it. All right, enough butt sex. I do like that Kristen Ritter is Jessica Jones, though, because I think she's another really talented person who deserves kind of some breakout success. And
David Tennant wearing a purple suit is exactly what I was fearing is going to
happen. Question.
Yeah.
Not the question, but a question.
True.
I don't want you to tell me the circumstances of it, but like, in the first episode, Karen Page is passed out, and she wakes up, and she's not sure what happened. Do they explain in Daredevil how that happened?
Yeah.
Because that, to me, felt like a Purple Man thing, but...
No. Okay. They explain...
Okay, alright.
Well, not actually, the Purple Man. Actually, like, I guess it could be the Purple Man, if you're stretching, because they say... What she basically says is something, you know, like, I was here, and then next thing you know...
Yeah.
So, they
don't explain how she got from A to B?
Yeah, like, no, they don't show...
Okay, so they don't explain that.
No.
How she passed out and ended up there.
No.
Okay. Because Felipe was telling me about that. He's like, that feels like a Purple Man thing. And I'm like, it could be.
Yeah.
It could be a Purple Man thing. Because that's kind of his bag. Amongst other things.
I mean, honestly, that would be a great way to tie the two shows together and show, like... They're taking place during the same time frame.
Yeah.
Would be like at the beginning of the Jessica Jones show David Tennant doing that and like show him making her pass out and like and all the shit, you know.
I'm gonna be so excited to watch him as a fucking villain though.
Yeah.
Like he's always played like at worst like a smarmy kind of cocky hero, but he's never played the outright villain that I can think of. And so I'm excited for that actually.
Me too. Yeah,
like I really just want to watch all the Who fans really just like shit their pants.
Actually purple.
That would be cool,
you know.
I mean,
maybe they'll do it like the Joker in Batman 89, where like he has makeup over the purple, and like he gets water splashed in his face, and you see the purple under it. And, like,
or I mean, it could be something that they actually add digitally. And that's awesome. Kind of ridiculous.
I would love to see that. I would love Tennant to just basically be Jack Nicholson's Joker as the purple man.
Or it could be like the more recent Daredevil comics had basically the Purple Man's kids, and it was like. They didn't turn purple until their powers activated, so maybe it's one of those.
It might be more. I actually think that's a safer assumption than makeup with Jack Nicholson.
Or not only that, but it's kind of harder to believe that there's just a purple dude, like a literally purple guy walking around, and no one's like, oh, hey, what the fuck's up with this guy? Well, I'm sure they are, but that is purple man's him.
Yeah, so it just makes you not watching him.
All right, moving on.
It does.
Mike Marks, you want to do that?
Yeah, sure. So Mike Marks is leaving Marvel Comics to be the new editor-in-chief of a newly founded Aftershock Comics. He's joining former Marvel writer Joe Pruitt to build a fun, safe, creative, and competitive new home. And he has left on good terms with Marvel.
It's a little surprising, though, because he was only at Marvel for about a year. Because he very high profile, or very...
Left Batman
at DC after years at Batman. And then left for Marvel in what a lot of people were like calling almost a coup. Like they were just like the fact they got him was like a big deal.
Yeah.
For him to do X-Men. And so to have him kind of walk away after a year to kind of and don't get me wrong, starting your own company is a great thing.
Absolutely. They've got some other
I'm just surprised.
Some really big name talent, like they've got a bunch of other people attached to this. So they're starting off with a lot of money, you know? And which is what you need.
And Mike Marks, like, he's got connections with Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
He's got connections with Jeff Lemire from all of his Batman stuff, all of his X-Men stuff. That guy's got a Rolodex like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
So he's got people he can call.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so if you want to do comics, so we've got some cool, potentially really cool stuff coming up.
Very cool. I took this next one, too.
Go ahead.
And what some might deem interesting events, Babs Tarr has actually revealed that the current Batgirl revamp was only supposed to last 6 issues, with Convergence being the main reason why DC Editorial allowed it to happen in the first place.
I remember hearing this a while ago, that it was only meant to be like a short-term thing, kind of tryout.
Yeah.
And I guess the tryout was successful because it's continuing after Convergence, isn't it?
From what I understand, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So it's it could almost be seen as like a tryout for the concept that they'll be putting into place after Convergence.
Yeah.
Of the more kind of creator-owned take on some of this stuff.
Exactly. They're no longer going to concentrate on continuity and instead just...
I love that fans are getting so upset about that.
I know.
Like, there's just so many fans that are like, well, if nothing matters, what's the fucking point? And I'm like, you still care about that? Like, right. It blows my mind that there are people that still go into a shop and they're just like, oh, I don't want to read that. It doesn't fucking matter. And I'm like, none of these matter. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're all fucking pieces of paper. Nobody gives a shit, man. Like, you're going to sit here and tell me it doesn't fucking matter? What the fuck's your fucking problem, man? Mm-hmm. Like Bendis, when he was doing Moon Knight, was like, he's like, yeah, I threw an Ultron so that people could read it because, you know, it would matter. And I was like, but it didn't fucking matter. Like,
yeah.
Who cares if it mattered? Like, it's that old, it has to tie into the big story. I'm like, shit.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, people that know what the fucking Ultron is are gonna be like, oh, cool, Ultron. And people that don't are gonna be like, oh, cool, Robot Head. You know? Like, it's almost like an Easter egg.
I don't even know if he fucking does anything with the robot head in it either. I don't think he does.
Or it's like,
then he just hands it over to somebody.
Even then, when there's like multiple books, they're like, which one's the real one?
Yeah.
Like, if there's like multiple Wolverine books, they're like, well, which one's the important one? Like,
it's like Batman's like that. People are like, oh, well, the Scott Snyder Batman's the Batman book. But they, and then you miss Batman and Robin. You miss fucking...
Detective Comics.
You miss fucking Detective Comics.
I'm missing Detective Comics. I know it's not bad. It's actually good.
You end up with a lot of people that miss great stuff. Like it's just a weird mentality, though. It's like, I'm not going to read these good comics because they don't matter. It's like, by that logic, I wouldn't have read All-Star Superman.
Right.
I wouldn't have read Superman Red Sun. Like, all of the greatest Superman stories you wouldn't have read.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, so...
I wouldn't have read All-Star Batman and Robin.
You might have been better for that one.
I'm sorry you did.
I can't.
It's like, once I realized that Miller went off the deep end, that book got really funny. Like, my favorite part, might be one of my favorite parts in any comics, is where, like, I don't know, fucking Wonder Woman walks in the room and she, like, takes off her coat. She's like, drops it on the ground, and Green Lantern's, like, right there with, like, his power ring to make, like, a hanger construct to hang up the coat. I'm like, that's just completely ridiculous. Not in character. I just really found...
Well, no, the thing about it is that people would say that about Miller's run. They'd be like, oh, man, it's like a parody of dark and gritty superhero comics. This is awesome. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, that's the disconnect for me. Like, I've seen so many people defending that book as this, like, bastion of superhero parody, and I'm just like, but he's not kidding. Like, he thinks this is cool.
Yeah.
That he and that's always been my issue with later Frank Miller stuff, is it's Batman is awesome and everybody else is a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Not just dumb. They're morons.
Yeah.
Like, Green Lantern nearly dies because of something Batman does. And it's stupid shit like that that makes me hate.
Well, you want to take a pause and then we'll come back?
Yeah, we'll take a pause. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Convergence and The Flash. Then we're going to do our picks of the week. And yeah, we'll be back. All right. We are back. We're back. You went nowhere.
As always.
Generally speaking, yes. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about Convergence and The Flash, which have nothing to do with each other. At least not yet. We'll do The Flash first. Another great episode of The Flash this week.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a riff on... Who was the villain a riff on? Was it Killer Bee? Queen Bee?
The Bug-Eyed Bandit.
The Bug-Eyed Bandit,
they
that's
it
right.
The Bug-Eyed Bandit. Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, Queen Bee? Killer? Who is this? And then they said Bug-Eyed Bandit, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I thought it was Queen Bee for a minute, but it's not. It's Bug-Eyed Bandit.
Which, also played by Beth from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that until one of my friends pointed it out.
Yeah, that was kind of cool to see her nicely getting some work after Walking Dead in the existing...
And that's even her name, yeah, Bertram.
Yeah, she's an Atom villain, so I guess it's fitting.
That's awesome.
Tila, that's cool.
That's very cool. I guess I got confused because...
Yeah, Queen there Bee. Is a Queen Bee, and they talk about Queen Bee for a second, but then whenever they actually get to the naming scene, they're like, the Bug-Eyed Bandit. simultaneously, like Adam even names her.
Oh, I absolutely love the fact that Adam and Cisco were there like a circle jerk. They're each other. Yeah, just like
bros.
Other.
Yeah,
just like bros. Automatic.
Total romance,
like,
right
he
there.
He saves him, and he's like, "You saved me, bro."
Yeah. It's like, no problem, bro.
I love that. Like, I'm really like glad that like Brandon Routh actually has kind of seemingly found his.
Yeah, he's finally found his superhero role.
Yeah,
he's finally found the one that's. Although I think he was great in Scott Pilgrim. No,
I will love the. It's a bird.
It's, no, a pl- no, it's a plane. No,
it's a plane. It's my boyfriend.
I love how Adam right now is just Iron Man.
I think actually what was the best part about that was after he landed, Kyle goes, "Oh, because he used to be Superman."
Like, oh, man. How high are you, Jesus? But no, I like that little bit at the end where he's like, I realize the solution is to go smaller. So they're kind of hinting that he's going to start messing around with that stuff. Mm-hmm. Pretty great stuff. We got the Bug-Eyed Bandit, who almost played second fiddle to almost all the stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
Because we had Adam, naturally.
I thought he was going to tell Iris a secret for a minute there.
I did too. I wasn't sure what was going
to
happen.
I think it might
come
down to it.
I think it will, simply because it's going to get to the make or break where...
He being Eddie or he being Flash?
He being Flash.
Okay, I actually think Eddie's going to be the one that's going to, like, be like, you know what, fuck it. He's the Flash. Like, that's what I can't tell you. Because it's like, I kind of got that vibe...
He wanted to. He wants
no,
to.
No, I know he wants to, but I kind of got that vibe from Barry that it's like, I'm telling you, it's, you know, you need to trust him, you need to listen to him, you need to make this relationship work. But, like, at the end, when he sees them, like, walk off, he kind of has this look in his eye, like, sweet.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're going to break up. It's my time to shine, you know? It's like, so I think Eddie's probably going to be the one to break it to her.
Yeah.
Which is going to be shitty, because I think she's... I want to say...
I actually think he's not going to say it. Iris is going to break up with her, which is going to seed the resentment Eddie has for Barry.
That's my sense.
Because we know that in later episodes, Eddie kind of goes crazy.
Yeah.
It's like shooting cops and stuff. So I think what's going to happen is that Iris is eventually either going to do... She's going to throw down the ultimatum. And, like... He can't break it because Joe has said he needs to do this. Barry has said he needs to do this. So he's basically going to be forced to be like, well, then I guess you have to go. And that's going to seed his resentment for...
That's fucking beautiful.
It's going to seed his resentment for towards Barry, which may lead him to teaming up with Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
So it was the... I'm a little interested in what's going to happen there, but I think that's where we're going. I don't think it's Iris finding out. I think it's Eddie slowly going to the dark side.
Okay. I can totally
Maybe see. Not so slowly, but yeah. It's happening.
All right, so we've got 4 episodes left, right?
I think so, yeah.
There's more than that.
It might be. Hold on. Go ahead and talk.
They said 5 episodes of Arrow, and I'm assuming they're kind of on the same schedule. But
we've had 18 so far, and... The wiki takes us up to 23, so that's 5 more.
5 more.
Right, so, yeah, anyway, they keep hinting, like, in a bunch of interviews, and I think WonderCon was last weekend or a couple weekends ago, and they keep hinting at, Killer Frost is going to show up. Like, Caitlin's going to show up as Killer Frost. I'm just kind of wondering how that's going
to
happen.
It's whenever Barry goes back in time to save his mom. Whenever he comes back, he doesn't work. But whenever he comes back, he's coming back to an alternate reality.
Is that like speculation or?
It's possible.
That's speculation.
It is total speculation, but giving what's been inferred by like Caitlin's character.
Very matter of fact.
Well, the thing that was interesting about tonight's episode that I liked is that Cisco was getting those kind of ghost memories of an alternate time, of something that didn't, that happened but then ended up not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because that all got undone when Barry went back in time and switched it all around. So it's kind of showing that even if you fuck with shit,
yeah,
there's still kind of some hints in people's minds.
Is did Wells get those flashes too?
That's an excellent point.
Well, see, I have a feeling that it might be, they might explain it in a, like, if it's, it's like, since it was so traumatic to Cisco, I mean, he died, that's probably why he's remembering it, because it's the, like, that powerful a memory.
Mm-hmm.
Where knowing Harrison, or knowing Thawne.
Knowing that Harrison Wells is Thawne, and then knowing that he kills you.
Yeah.
Was pretty traumatic stuff.
I mean, what I was saying, Thawne's character doesn't really seem like he would give a shit, because he's like, whenever something happens, he's very adamant to say, it's like, oh, you've been dead to me for centuries.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of like, maybe he doesn't know because it's not something like...
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
And his powers are on the fritz, so for all we know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, did you realize his reaction when she was like, when they showed up and saw Tina again, and he's like, she's like, are you here for another one of my...
Do you have one?
Yeah.
And he's like, wait. Do you have a, do you have another one? Because I could really steal that and use it.
Yeah. I also really liked Amanda Pays back as Tina McGee. I like that. I like when they bring in the old Flash cast for stuff. Awesome.
I'm still waiting for Max Mercury to show up.
I know, since they already mentioned Mercury
like
last.
Several times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, he's got to be the boss there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they've explicitly stated that, but he has to be.
Yeah.
A lot of cool shit this week, too. Although, maybe Cisco getting those memories of the alternate timeline hints of Vibe?
Maybe. I mean, they've, like, at least in the trailer, they've shown him wearing some weird goggles. Which...
I'm thinking that might be it. He's kind of getting his, I don't know if it's powers, I don't know if it's what, but he might be getting glimpses of alternate realities because he can do that. It's one of the things that Vibe can do. Oh, but,
Yeah, to be honest, I've read like two comics with Vibe in it. What's his power?
It's basically usually gravitational field shit, I think.
It's kind of like Richter.
Kind of, yeah. But let's look real quick.
Because, I mean, that could be interesting. Like, you know, have his powers start manifesting.
His abilities are above average agility, skilled hand-to-hand combat, sonic vibration manipulation, superb breakdancing skills, and seismic powers. And then in the New 52, he's got molecular vibration-induced image distortion, which, you know, molecular vibrations have to start getting into alternate realities and shit. It's how Flash meets Jay Garrick for the first time back in 59 or whatever.
Yeah.
But it might be some hints of stuff. It might be, I don't know.
I hope they show off his breakdancing skills at some
point. That would be quite amazing if they did. But yeah, so a lot of really...
I could see him building a suit maybe to protect himself.
That kind of just ends up making him become Vibe.
Well, especially since he's been messing around with Adam. I mean, they even said, it's like, oh, I love watching a boy play with his toys or whatever, and then when him and Ray Palmer were dicking around with the suit.
Right.
So
there's some... I think they're building to something. I mean, like you said, it's a little surprising to me that we actually have, you know, like 5 episodes left. That's a lot of time for shit to happen.
The actress that played Caitlin did say that she's like... You're gonna be seeing Killer Frost.
Oh yeah, no. I mean,
sooner rather than later.
Yeah. My question was, how is it gonna happen? Because it's like happening quickly. Like
it might be, like you said, it might be that alternate timeline where Barry comes back to the future and everything's different, and Caitlin's Killer Frost, and Cisco is Vibe, and Harrison Wells is nobody, and you know, maybe his dad's Jay Garrick instead. Who fucking knows? You could do any number of things. Although I do keep seeing that Tom Welling rumor come up again and again.
That's Superman.
Yeah.
Although I would laugh so hard if they had a Tom Welling Superman next to Brandon Routh's Adam, just for all the jokes of like Brandon Routh just looking at him, just being like, "Sue looks dumb."
My suit was better. What? Nothing.
No, actually, if it were Brandon Routh talking to Tom Welling and he was wearing the exact suit from Smallville, Brandon Routh should say, "I wore that way better, man." Because they literally stole the Superman Returns suit. But I don't think we're going to see Superman. I really don't. But it's a cool idea, I'll admit. But I really don't think they're going to go for the... They're not going to go for the Superman yet.
I still don't get that whole, like, we can't cross... the movies, like, it's gonna confuse people, because that's one of the big reasons why they have yet to make a Batman show. Well, I guess besides Gotham.
I think the bigger thing is that if they need to trust that viewers are smart enough to handle two versions of something, like, I can understand fully, though, why DC is like, we don't want to merge the TV and the film universes.
No, I get that.
Because there's so much that they've either hinted at or set up in the television show that trying to retroactively fit that into something is insane. It's hard enough when you haven't done that, and it's difficult enough to do.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of surprised that DC isn't taking that route, because Marvel's doing it so well. You know, and right now they've got the films, they've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is supposedly getting a spin-off.
Yeah.
Got Agent Carter, and then they've got the Netflix stuff. which is almost like a third pillar or whatever, you know, because that's
the Netflix stuff TV. Is almost kind of its own thing because it's it's kind of a thing unto itself.
What Faggia says about it is that, like, the Avengers protect the world, the Defenders protect your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know?
And the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are fucking dicking around.
Yeah.
Dicking around. There you go. They're fucking dicking around. Well, no, it's an interesting... it's an interesting kind of dichotomy, but I think that the way Marvel did it is the way that you would do it. Because what happened is that Marvel had their movies, and then Marvel spun the show off.
Yeah.
So Marvel was able to specifically have a show that was coming from the films.
Yeah.
What happened is that DC had Arrow, and then Man of Steel came out.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, well then we need to basically marry Man of Steel over to Arrow, but the problem is that Arrow is basically Batman. Like, Arrow has co-opted half of Batman's shit.
Yeah.
So, again, trying to reconcile those two is more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if I'm all for
Deadshot with the movies, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it's a little... You got Deathstroke, even. You got fucking all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
And so it's tough to kind of merge it all together after the fact. So I fully understand.
What I think is actually pretty cool is that knowing that the Marvel characters can show up in the Spider-Man movies,
mm-hmm.
Who says it has to be one of the main Marvel movies? Like, Marvel characters. It could easily be Daredevil showing up in a Spider-Man movie.
It could.
And it would work.
Yeah.
It would work well. You know?
Fucking Moon Knight could show. They should do a Netflix Moon Knight show. I would watch the hell out of a Netflix Moon Knight show.
Ass.
All right, so either way, The Flash, awesome. It's pretty good shit. And then we got the setup for next week, which, spoilers. Sorry, we should have done that a while. If you're still here after all that, I'm sorry. And you didn't watch the show. And then we got kind of the sting for next week, which is that he tells Caitlin and Cisco that Wells is Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
And Cisco seems to believe it based off his visions. And Caitlin is not quite as confident. So it's definitely heating up as we get into these last five episodes. And
well, it makes a little more sense. Caitlin's like, where's the proof? And Cisco's like, I have dreams. So it's a little weird.
Yeah, it's tough to try to throw that as evidence. So
yeah.
Anyway, next we are going to talk about Convergence. Convergence. Again.
Can suck. Kind of sucked.
Oh.
I kind of wholeheartedly agree with that.
Convergence Zero is confusing.
It feels like a Morrison story that somebody
elsewhere
really wanted to be, like, told, but just couldn't get Morrison to write it.
Because
they've never actually done drugs, so they don't know how to do this.
It's like, for those of you who didn't read it, and if you haven't read Convergence, and you are going to, turn this off. We're probably going to make it a weekly thing, talking about Convergence. Hopefully it does. Although I will say, the 0-1, like, quality jump is pretty immense, I think. Issue 1, for me...
It's sad that, like, adding Scott Lobdell to your issue makes it better.
Yeah, it's really sad. Really sad. But... Issue 0 is basically Superman talking to various forms of Brainiac. That includes, like, kind of the classic Silver Age Brainiac. I think even the animated Brainiac is in there.
Yeah.
Plus the super crazy Skull Brainiac.
It's like every Brainiac you've ever seen.
And it's just following through this whole thing where Brainiac just keeps telling him, I'm coming for your shit, man. Like, just literally, it's the whole book. It's Superman getting...
Like, I'm coming for your shit, and Superman's like, where's my shit? And he's like, I'm coming for it.
Where are the other drugs going? it's just like Superman just, like, flying around, punching Brainiac, being like, how many fucking dicks did you suck, man?
Where did you put my people?
Where did you take my city? And he's like, I haven't taken your city. He's like, well, you can go to this other metropolis. And he's like, I'm not going to, because that's not my metropolis.
You can have any city. I don't want any city. I want my city. I don't have your city. Pick any other city. See, look.
It's like the same shit for fucking 40 pages.
Look at all these cities you can choose from. Yeah. Pick one. Pick whichever one you like. It's like
spin a wheel. It's Vegas.
Also, I really gotta say, man, his beard, or whatever the fuck that was, distracting as shit. Superman's, like, scruff. God, I just, like, could not stop looking at, like, how... I'm like, God damn, it's a dark fucking 5 o'clock shadow. Like...
I don't like it's worse over the book. His facial hair grows throughout the book. But Zero is really like, if Zero is the primer for the event, it fails miserably, yeah. I think. It's Jeff King of White Collar and Continuum. Issue Zero was co-written by Dan Jurgens, and Issue One was co-written by Scott Lobdell. Issue One drawn by Ethan Van Sciver, and issue zero drawn by Van Sciver. Issue One drawn by Carlo Pagluin, Pagagulin, however you say his name.
Pagulian,
whatever. He's actually really good. I like that he's getting some DC stuff. But so Zero is basically this primer for Convergence that kind of sets up that Brainiac has taken all these worlds and is apparently coming for the new 52 Earth next.
Coming for you.
And it's weird because, like, so I guess instead of putting him on the ship like he used to, now he's been keeping them on this planet, and the planet exists outside of reality. And now the planet has come alive and is basically saying, my master isn't doing it good enough. And instead of just bringing them here, we have to make them fight.
Well, that's issue one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like,
planet's not really alive, though. That's just Brainiac again.
No, it's not Brainiac. That's Telos.
Telos. Not
that's
fucking,
like,
yeah.
The point of issue zero is, like, the planet actually coming alive and saying...
And that's Telos at the end of issue zero, yeah.
Yeah.
And Telos is the super Brainiac guy. Yeah. He's the ultimate Brainiac.
Yes.
But yeah, so issue one at that point is basically Telos saying that they're all going to fight to the death, and at the end only one world will remain.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of what the Convergence two-issue stories are, is they're showing various levels of this fight.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, you know, the Kingdom Come versus Flashpoint, or you know, pre-New 52 versus Kingdom Come.
I like
or
Swamp Thing versus Red Rain Batman.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
Honestly.
Kelly Jones on art.
Yeah.
That's
pretty awesome.
Fucking awesome.
It's pretty,
it's pretty cool shit. Like Greg Rucka back on The Question, stuff like that. There's some pretty interesting stuff. But issue one is a lot better. Issue one features the Heroes of Earth 2 up close and personal for the most part. The new versions.
Except
of,
right after like World's End.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like World's End.
So if you haven't read Earth 2 World's End, you're probably not fully going to understand. You're caught up to speed pretty quick. Of what happened.
Yeah, it's like they give you a brief recap.
I mean,
you're like, why the fuck were they fighting this guy in the first place? And it's because you have 40-something issues you have to go back and...
No, Earth 2 World's End's only like 24. It's not that long. I mean, it's still 24 issues, but not as long. But, Future's End and Eternal were
way longer. It's Future's End.
Yeah. So, issue one, as far as quality, though, I would say I think it's much better. You get a better handle of what's happening in this event, and actually, I think issue one should have been the zero issue. I think it would have made a lot more fucking sense, because it sets up the event, tells you what's happening, and some shit actually happens. Unlike the zero issue, where dick happens.
Well, it sets up Telos, is all it does. It sets up...
You could have done that in the issue one.
You easily could have, and I'm not saying that you're wrong. Like, issue zero was not a good issue.
Waste of time.
It was a very big waste. I mean, as I said, it feels like somebody that's trying to be Grant Morrison, except they've never actually done drugs.
Or if they have, not in a really long time.
Yeah, they're doing the wrong drugs.
Yeah, I don't know.
This guy's just doing coke instead of doing mescaline, and it's like you can obviously tell that. It's like the pacing is just all off.
I don't know. Either way, Convergence Zero, Convergence One better, but still fairly, We'll
it's
try
like,
out two this week.
I don't understand where they decided, like, when they decided that these were the writers to go with. It's like...
I think it was probably like, who is not going to be affected by the move? These guys. Who wants work? These guys.
Let's hire this new guy, Jeff King. He's never written a comic before. But let's have him write our most important big event for the year. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, but he's never written a comic.
The idea behind that, I think, was that Jurgens and Lobdell would kind of be the, we've written, we know how to format and turn in stuff. And it's kind of sad that Lobdell as a co-writer is better than Jurgens. But, and especially since Jurgens fucking wrote the Superman Convergence story that was apparently great.
Right.
I didn't read it, but I heard rave reviews everywhere.
Well, I guess, he probably has
more freedom there.
Zero, right?
What?
He wrote Zero.
He co-wrote Zero.
Well, okay. I don't know, that rings of editorial mandate. It's like, okay, this is a story, write it, and they're just like, well, fuck, how are we going to make 30 issues out of this?
Or 30 pages out of this, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so, anyway.
Only nice thing about it is that splash page of all the different deaths of Superman.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, that would make a cool poster.
Yeah.
I think it is making a cool poster. I'm pretty sure I've seen that image by itself. Like, no text or anything.
All right, well, let's move on to our picks of the week, and we'll wrap this show up a little early, maybe. Yeah. Vince, why don't you go first, since you got the two?
I've got, shit.
Miss Marvel?
Thor number 7 and Miss Marvel number 14. Thor number 7, it's continuing, I don't want to call her Thor Girl, but the Who is Thor storyline.
Mm-hmm. Any theories? Excuse me, I said any theories, because that's apparently been hotly contested as to who this female Thor is.
I'm still feeling like it's Roz from the Thor God of Thunder run. But
I had somebody trying to say it might be Sue Storm.
Didn't make any sense.
Huh. Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense.
No, it doesn't. But no. Anyway.
I mean, shit, why not? But anyway, so
Fantastic Four aren't doing anything better.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they're going to have to figure that shit out soon, because Thor is ending fairly soon. I think it ends next month. With Thor coming out in June.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in that. And Miss Marvel is actually one of the books I got caught up on over the weekend. And it's a lot of fun. Like, the last issue, like, actually the last two issues were kind of like young love centric type thing. Not really, but like, there was a Valentine's Day issue, which obviously shows you I'm a little behind. But Loki shows up and like, is trying to convince one of her friends to, like, hey, if you actually like her, you gotta tell her. But then they also catch him, like, dropping a truth serum into, like, the school punch, or the punch at the school prom, or the Valentine's Day dance.
Okay.
Like, everyone starts attacking Loki, and it's just, like, a whole big thing, which was kind of fun. The last issue was her dad has, like, some friends over, and it's like, okay, well, you're gonna meet this boy because he's studying blah blah blah, he's going to MIT and blah blah blah, and she's like, oh, I'm not interested. But of course she sees him, the guy's cute, handsome probably, and they kind of go out on a date, and turns out he's an Inhuman. Like, by the end of this, you know, shit happens by the end of the show, or show, by the end of the issue, I'm all like fucking wrapped
that
up.
That totally reminded me of something that happened on iZombie, but you guys aren't watching it, so.
Damn it. But anyway, so, like, she kind of reveals her powers, not really reveals her powers, but she disappears, and Miss Marvel shows up, and he kind of puts the two together, and says, oh, hey, you know, we're not that different, like, reveals his powers. So now that's kind of an interesting dynamic, because now she has not only a love interest, but a love interest that's an Inhuman, plus someone knows her secret, and, you know, so it's this...
Add dynamic to it.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm still patiently waiting on the second trade to hurry up and come out.
Hurry the fuck up. But anyway, that's it for Miss Marvel and all right. Thor.
I'll go next, and then Dusty can go later with his Herculean list of shit. For me, first, it's the most anticipated comics crossover of all time. It is Archie versus Predator number 1.
Absolutely. I second that. The only reason that's not on my list is because Andrew took it.
Yeah.
If this is half as good as Archie versus Punisher, it's going to be awesome. That's a comic we should all read and review
right.
for this show, is Archie versus Punisher.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you think I'm kidding.
No.
No,
I'm not.
No.
second is Convergence number 2. I'm going to stick with it. I will be honest, though. If 2 or 3 don't grab me, we may end our reviews of Convergence previously.
Yeah.
Because this stuff has got a long way to go.
Our reviews might turn into hate reviews.
Our reviews might turn into non-existent, because we're all going to stop buying it. next up, though, another great comic finally coming back, Sabrina number 2. Finally. After,
like, what, 6 issues? 6 months, I mean?
Six, seven, maybe even more. I want to say the issue 1 came out in time for Halloween.
Yeah.
Which is October, so October, November, December, January, seven months. Long time. A long fucking time.
And Frank Avila has actually got a cover this time. It makes me really happy.
Didn't he have a cover the first one?
No.
He did.
No, he did.
He was the retailer.
But it was the exclusive. It was the retailer exclusive.
Yeah.
So I got it, you know, but he wasn't one of the main covers. This time he's got a main cover.
Cool. He's a main cover for 9,000 books a month.
I know, but
Sabrina number 1 was this really kind of great, like, almost like 70s horror take on witches. And
yeah, it sets up a really cool new universe for the Archie characters.
And Robert Hack on art, he's no hack when it comes to art.
Yeah. No, absolutely. He's crushing
amazing.
He's crushing it on the book that comes out once a fucking year.
Yeah. It's the greatest annual series out there. The first issue was awesome, and I feel really bad that, like, they've lost all their momentum, really. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping this issue kind of gets some of it back.
Yeah.
Because the first issue was amazing, and I really hope the second issue is just as good.
Well, hopefully the time has given them a little bit of lead up. Maybe 2-3 issues in the can.
The author, Aguirre Sacasa, has said that there will never be delays like this again. He basically let stuff get in the way, like the Riverdale pilot, things like that. And didn't keep to these books like he should have. And then Frank Avila had an injury plus delays on the writing, which is what delayed Afterlife, which will resume publication next month. Gotcha. I think 4 or 5 weeks we get the new issue of Afterlife, which will be a Shining tribute.
Have we had a new issue of that lately?
No.
7 came out a while ago.
Okay.
I just reread 7 the other day. It was really good. That was the one where they're in the woods and they're going to have Thanksgiving and then... girl kills her brother at the end. Nice. And everyone's like, whoa. The weird ones that look like they kind of had the incestuous thing going on.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, it's Blossom, isn't it?
Is it Sherry Blossom?
Sherry and her brother, I think. I don't know. Them, that basically, she comes back from the woods and it looks like she killed her brother, but everyone doesn't want to say that because of what's happening. But either way, so issue 8 is finally going to be. And Afterlife's limited. Like, Afterlife is only 12 issues, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I'm really waiting for, like, all 12 issues to come out and then do that nice, big, fancy hardcover.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
I'm going to buy the shit out of
it. I'm waiting for Wade's,
Wade's Archie relaunch should, like, be pretty great, too.
Yeah.
Because it's him and, what, Fiona Staples?
Fiona Staples.
Which is going to be amazing. And then my last book this week is Bloodshot Reborn number 1. I admit I am not as dedicated a Valiant reader as Dusty is. I read Exo Manowar in my spare time. But, this is Jeff Lemire.
Yeah.
And Miko's...
Miko Sawayan.
Sawayan, plus Jeff Lemire himself on some art. And, gonna give it a shot. Never read Bloodshot before, but this sounds like...
this is the perfect place to jump in.
Sounds... Yeah. That's the implication it made. So I'm gonna be checking out Bloodshot Reborn by Jeff Lemire as he continues his post-DC work, which still makes me sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. So, Dusty.
All right. My picks this week are all of the comics.
Everything, literally.
Everything. I'm going to buy everything. But no, seriously. I'm gonna
list stuff. He's going to buy everything.
Yeah, no, this is not what I'm going to buy. This is just what I'm recommending.
It's a sampler.
For you to buy, you know? So I'll start with King, the Phantom, number 2. This is being published through Dynamite with the King header on it. And it's just a story about the Phantom, but I believe they're all tying in together because they're doing a bunch of them with, like, Mandrake and... bunch of the old
classic pulp heroes.
You know,
I hear Phantom, I still just think Billy fucking Zane.
Yeah, I know. But Ryan Cody will be doing some of the art for this issue with Scott Godlewski. I can't remember how to pronounce his last name, but he's the artist on Copperhead. He's going to be inking Ryan Cody on this issue, and then Ryan Cody and Scott will be doing all of issue number 3. So that's going to be really cool.
Very cool. I didn't know he was doing that.
Yeah, I'm actually talking to him about buying some pages from issue number 3 so I can get one with the Phantom on it.
Of course you are.
Yeah. I know.
You should buy those Flash comics for me instead.
Yeah.
One day.
Then let's see. Dark Horse Presents number 9. New story from Dennis Calero starts up in this issue. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Our good pal Fabian starts up in this. What is that, issue 11?
Issue 11, yes.
Yeah.
So you got a couple more months for his issue. But then he will have Black Past.
Three-part story, right?
Yes. And I believe that's what Calero's is. And I think, actually, it kind of makes sense to me that Calero's got announced and Fabian's got pushed back by 3 issues. And Calero's is 3 issues, so I think they were like, oh,
Calero's. Well, there's going to be a bit of crossover because Fabian starts in 2 issues.
Yeah.
Because Calero's only going to have 2 issues.
Yeah.
So he got bumped, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, still.
Anyway.
But yeah. And then Fade Out number 5. So Brubaker and Phillips, their series is returning finally. I'm really looking forward to this. It's been fantastic so far. You know, set in Hollywood and stuff. It's been really cool. And then, let's see. Magneto number 17. You went from Kevin Bunn and...
Kevin Bunn?
Colin Bunn and Kevin Walter.
Kevin Bunn.
But I've really enjoyed the Magneto series so far. I'm sad to see it ending with Secret Wars, but anxious to see what they're doing with it. I just actually read the newest issue yesterday.
16?
So, yeah.
Cool, and then you got two collections for us, and I'll actually agree with you on one of these. The first one is Men of Wrath. By yeah. Jason Aaron and Ron Garney. This is.
I've been looking forward to this since they announced it. As soon as I saw that it was just a miniseries, I decided I'm just going to get the trade instead. But since it's coming out, this is my pick of the week. Definitely, the series looks fucking amazing. I've actually read issue one because they sent us a preview, a PDF of it. So I got to read that, and it's fucking awesome. So it's really, really cool, more Southern Bastard type stuff.
Ask stuff, yeah.
You know,
I'm going to check that out. Aaron,
you know, and I fucking love Ron Garney's art.
Yeah, so. And then the other one is one that I'm actually going to wholeheartedly agree with you on. It is The Filth Deluxe Edition. This is a book by Grant Morrison, and who is the artist on this? Is it Weston?
Greg Weston, I believe.
Chris Weston.
Chris Weston, yes.
I think it's Chris Weston. Let me check. Weston of various other things as well. Mm-hmm. He did, what's that other big thing he did? The 12, that's right. That's J. Michael Straczynski. This is... The interesting thing about this book is that when Grant Morrison was at Marvel, he did a short Nick Fury story that was supposed to build into this much bigger Nick Fury story. But Marvel, being Marvel, didn't let him do it. So he took all the ideas he was going to do with Nick Fury, and he uses them in The Filth.
Nice.
So this book is basically everything that Grant Morrison was going to do with Nick Fury, but Marvel wouldn't let him do. And it's so weird to me that, like, Marvel has Grant Morrison, and they won't let him do anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird, but, like, he's at Marvel writing the X-Men for, like, 4 years, 5 years even, and he does almost nothing else while he's there.
That's all that he did.
He does that, he does 6 issues of Marvel Boy, he does 4 issues of Fantastic Four, and he does one Nick Fury story, and I'm just like, why the fuck... Would you get Grant... And you did X-Men as well. But, like, why would you get Grant Morrison and then not give him, like, everything that he wants?
Yeah.
Apparently, he was... That was... In those talks, he was also going to do Ultimate Fantastic Four. But that fell through. And he ended up... I think Ultimate Fantastic Four was coming about the same time DC was offering him Batman.
Yeah.
And so he opted to go back to DC for Batman. And... Ultimate Fantastic Four got launched by Miller and Bendis.
Yay.
But not really.
But yeah, The Filth is actually a fantastic fucking comic book. It's something I've already read but would like to own, especially since it's a new hardcover coming out.
It's got it for $7.50.
Nice. It's also really cool in the fact that this is the comic that made Jonathan Hickman want to start writing comic books. Like, he realized that... The story for this is so off the fucking wall and just insane that he realized the comics didn't have to be
superheroes
and everything like that. You could do almost anything you wanted with them, you know? And,
Because that's the thing that I've always said about comics, and I say this to anybody that listens, but, like, movies and everything are bound by budgets, and books are bound by kind of what you can describe, even. But comics are literally only bound by what the artist is capable of drawing.
Yeah.
Which can be anything. So, a hard sci-fi comic set on a foreign land costs the same as a Captain America comic in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're the same, but they cost the same.
Yeah.
It's you can read anything in comics. Comics can literally be anything they want to be, as far as subject matter and genre goes. There's really, just like I said, there's absolutely no limitations on what comics can be or do, which is one of the things I always like about. Yeah. It's whatever you can come up with, which is why there's so much. So like I said, it's kind of like earlier, it's why it bugs me that people will say, oh, well, comic books are a genre. No, they're not.
No,
there's so much stuff in
them. If anything, it's a form of media.
Yeah, it's a medium. It's a medium, that's it. So anyway,
But anyway, that's going to go ahead and wrap up our show for this week. We will be back at you guys next week. We're going to have a little one-off special. We're going to do a little. We're going to do a little bit of background on us, talk about why we read comics, and maybe postulate why comics aren't as popular as they have been, and why the movies haven't helped, maybe. But anyway, we'll be doing all that and more next week. And so for God Hates Comics, I'm Andrew as always.
I'm Dusty because I'm one of big.
And I'm Vince as usual.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week.